morning. Welcome. Glad you're here. I know people are still coming, but I want to go ahead and get started. Let's begin with our Trinity liturgy. Welcome home. Why are we here? Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do gather to worship you and to come and be renewed and filled on this Pentecost Sunday to experience the power of your Holy Spirit in our midst. And so we open ourselves to you right now and ask that you would have your way and your will in our lives today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Everyone, would you please stand and join in the singing of our opening hymns, How Great Thou Art and God of the City.
I see the stars, I hear the
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come, with shall
affirmation of faith, a modern affirmation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Please be seated. You'll see on the screen persons we'd like for you to be praying for in the hospital. Barbara Mundy, Harry Smith, Alan Goforth's surgery was successful. Art Reed, John Thomas. Actually, John's name is spelled without the H, J-O-N Thomas, and he is still in Shands. Pat was in the previous service. I think John is doing better. In rehab, Marie Brown, Dot Stout, Francis Allison. A couple people are having surgery tomorrow and the next day. And we would invite you to keep Glenda Good in your prayers. Would you join me now in prayer? Gracious and amazing God, we gather in your name on this Pentecost Sunday. Grateful for the movement of your Spirit so long ago that birthed the church and empowered despondent disciples and motivated them out into the world to proclaim the message of Jesus. We thank you that your Spirit is ever new and ever fresh and ever alive to us, that your Spirit speaks to us and enlivens us and empowers us and provides that whatever specific thing we might need. And so we call upon your grace today that you would surround these persons and more whom we mentioned by name in the hospital and rehabilitation. We ask your grace to be with them in your presence. For all this day who are going through a time of loss or struggle, we pray for your surrounding grace and strength. God, you are a mighty God and you come in the most remarkable ways. Sometimes in the still, small voice, quiet touch, the word of a friend, a hug. Ways to strengthen us and provide for us on our journey. We pray for your world that seems to have lost its way. We pray for healing in broken places, for peace where there's war. We thank you for endeavors to bring relief to suffering. Like the mission box today, and for other efforts. And, oh God, we ask that you'll have your will and your way in our lives and in this service. These things and more we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord, who taught us when we gathered together to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We welcome you. If you're new among us, we extend a special welcome, and we invite you to over at the Information Center afterwards, and you'll find out more about Trinity and I hope you'll consider making it your church home. I just mentioned a couple of things that are in your bulletin, but I'll highlight them. The Vacation Bible School is coming up. We'll have over 300 children here. We need lots and lots of adults who can help. If that's something you're able to do, Elizabeth and her team would love to hear from you. Check in with them. Also, you'll see in the bulletin the Sunlight Send-Off Concert Keepsake Program, and you can help Sunlight go on tour. You can help sponsor them. Hope you'll fill that out, tear it off, place it in the offering plate, or send it to Alice. That would be great, a huge help. And then finally, the rebuilding is a when the relationship ends, something this church, particularly the McDowells, have sponsored for 10 or 15 years. Counselors around the community refer people to this. It's really helpful. It starts June 2nd. If you know somebody who's going through a relationship change, send them this way. That would be great. We're really delighted that Ron Farb is here today. Talk about the mission box. I think Jeff Montgomery is going to introduce Ron, and then Ron, you'll say a word. That would be great. This is our mission box today. Thanks, Jeff.
Ron Farb, my friend here, has founded an organization called Climb for Cancer Foundation. He and his wife, Diane. And it's a terrific group that Christy and I are involved with. And without further ado, warm Trinity welcome for Ron Farb.
Hey, Ron.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you, Jeff. And thank you so much for welcoming me to your parish today. My life was changed profoundly and forever 24 years ago when I was asked by friends of mine who started a camp for children with cancer up in Georgia to volunteer for a week up there. At the same time, my sister was first diagnosed with cancer. But after spending a week with those children, I knew I had to do more than just volunteer that 1 week and to write a personal check. So I found an unusual way of raising money through my hobby, which is climbing mountains. We've raised now about $1.5 million in the last 10 years. And most of that money has stayed right here in this community at UF and Shands. We're an unusual foundation. We're a small foundation, so we know that $1.5 million is a lot of money, but it's not going to find a cure for cancer. So we look for some underserved needs. Debbie? So we do give some research grants, small seed grants for research, but most of our money goes to psychosocial and patient and family support. And some of our programs I've listed here, Debbie. Harriet's Helping Hand is a program that seems to resonate most with our donors. It's a program named after my sister who lost her 20-year battle with cancer. She was being treated at the Leinberger Cancer Center at the University of North Carolina, and when I went to visit her once and took her to get her infusion, the chairs next to her were empty. And I asked the nurse I said, is it a slow day today? Where are the people? And she said, no, it was supposed to be a busy day, but they couldn't afford to come. And I asked her, what happens? And she said, they die. Wow. And I came home here and I told my wife, we have to do something about this. So we formed Harriet's Helping Hand, and we now pay for the gas, the meals, and the lodging for every cancer family that comes here to Shands for treatment. These are underserved needs. Wow. The Butterfly Connection is a program that allows all cancer families to visit our beautiful butterfly rainforest at no charge because it's a wonderful place of repose after a very, very stressful day. Lifeline is a program that supports the cancer caregiver, the forgotten victim in the cancer scenario. They don't want to complain. They're not the ones with cancer, but they have terrible needs, and their care is directly, or the care of the patient is directly proportionate to how the caregiver is treated. And then lastly, Streetlight is a program that was started by your former musical director, Rebecca Brown. That is a wonderful program at UF and Shands, a program for adolescents going through life-threatening illness. They are caught in between pediatrics and adults, and this is a mentoring program with mostly med students that help them get through this terrible ordeal. So again, thank you so much for allowing me to tell you a little bit about our foundation. And yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Let me ask a couple questions. Did you really climb Mount Everest?
Yes, sir. I climbed it in 2005.
Oh my gosh! I never knew anybody that climbed Mount Everest.
Dan, I tell everybody, Mama raised one fool.
Mama raised one fool. Now, your next climb is when and where?
Well, it's more of a trek. I'm taking Jeff Montgomery and 21 others, Jeff and Christy, actually, and 20 others up the Inca Trail to Machu Picchu, a very spiritual place in Peru.
Will people be able to sponsor folks for that? Is that, I mean, it's to raise money?
It is. It's actually a part of the Expedition Travel, which is the company that does the travel for the Museum of Natural History here. But the folks that are going all had an add-on component for the Climb for Cancer Foundation. All right. So support is always welcome.
Yeah. Ron Farb, thank you very much. Thank you. Wow. $1.5 million and Harriet's helping hand. Wow. Why don't you stand and turn to somebody you didn't come to church with and say, I'm going to climb one of those mountains with Ron. That's really good. Greet the people. God, we give you thanks for the joy of giving out of that which you've given to us. And we ask your blessings on these gifts in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hi, my name's Amber Minari, and the song Sunlight we'll be singing for all of you today is Smile by Uncle Cracker. My favorite line in the song is, I'm lucky just to linger in your life. God is with us in any way possible, and it definitely makes us smile. Psalm 68:3 says, may the righteous rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Now singing for all of you is Dylan Probert.
You're better than the best. Lucky just to linger in your life, cooler than the flip side of my pillow, that's right. Completely unaware, nothing can compare to where you send me, lets me know that it's okay. Yeah, it's okay, and the moments where my good times start to fade. You make me smile like the sun, fall out of bed, sing like a bird, dizzy in my head, spin like a record, crazy on a Sunday night. You make me dance like a fool, forget how to breathe, shine like gold, buzz like a bee, just the thought of you can drive me wild. Oh, you make me smile. Even when you're gone, somehow you come along just like a flower walking through the sidewalk crack. And just like that, you steal away the rain. And just like that, you make me smile like the sun, fall out of bed, sing like a bird, dizzy in my head, spin like a record, crazy on a Sunday night. You make me dance like a fool, forget how to breathe, shine like gold, buzz like a bee. Just the thought of you can drive me wild. Oh, you make me smile. Don't know how I live without you. Cause every time that I get around you, I see the best of me inside. inside your eyes. You make me smile. You make me dance like a fool, forget how to breathe. Shine like gold, buzz like a bee. Just the thought of you can drive me wild. You make me smile like the sun, fall out of bed, sing like a bird, dizzy in my head, spin like a record, crazy on a Sunday night. You make me dance like a fool, forget how to breathe, shine like gold, buzz like me, just the thought of you can drive me wild.
Smile. You make me smile.
Oh, you make me smile.
Oh, you
make me smile. Thank you, Sunlight. Thank you, guys. Today is Pentecost, and Pentecost is that 50 days after Easter. And we've been, as a congregation, looking at a couple of things. Several of us have been praying, God, what's the next step you have for me? And several of you shared some really neat things that God is calling you to do. And Jan and I, these 50 days, have been having the privilege of praying for each of you by name, and that's been an amazingly rich and powerful thing for us. Before I read the scripture, I want to mention that Pentecost is a name for also the Festival of Weeks. And the Festival of Weeks was one of the five major Hebrew feast days where people would come from around the world. They come on Passover, they come on this one. And it would be the time of bringing in the first fruits of the grain that came at springtime harvest. So there were lots of people in Jerusalem from 15 or 20 countries of the world, and they all spoke their own language because they'd been in the diaspora. They'd been driven out of Israel, no longer knew Hebrew. They spoke their own language, and so they came, and then the disciples are still in a befuddlement. They're still struggling. What am I going to do? And Jesus, we thought, was the Messiah. He rose from the dead. We're waiting here. He asked us to wait until the Holy Spirit would come upon us with power. And we're trying to figure that out. And they've cast lots, and they've replaced Judas as an apostle with Matthias. And that's where they are. So the scripture reading is from the last part of the book of Luke. You're the witnesses. What comes next is very important. Jesus is saying this. I'm sending what my Father promised to you. So stay here in the city until he arrives, until you're equipped with power from on high. Now we're in Acts chapter 2, after they've elected Matthias, and they're still waiting. And then when the Feast of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. And without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. And then like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. They spoke in those different languages, so all those people gathered from all the different parts of the world could understand what the story was about, what was happening. And they shared the story of Jesus who rose from the dead and is now living among them. Now, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit would come to us in either a mighty force or in a quiet voice or whatever way that you need the Holy Spirit to come to you today. I want to begin with a confession or my own sort of story that this week, I think I was the most tired and exhausted of any time in my life. Well, I get tired when I fly back from Europe or something and I have that jet lag, as everybody does. But here's what happened. Here's what happened on Tuesday morning. I woke up at 5:30. I don't usually do that. I usually do that on Sunday, but not on the rest of the day. I woke up at 5:30, went to my study, and I got an email from Jamie Betts at 5:45 saying, his beloved wife, our friend Eva Dimitrov, had passed at 5:30. Eva's one of these people, I'll talk about her a little more later, but she's one of these people that just sort of wraps you around her heart. And her bravery and a number of things, and it just was heavy. Later that morning, I went to be with one of our dear families in this church who were in court. Their wonderful son, whom I baptized and who grew up just a really, really, really fine young man, but made a mistake. And so we were there in court for 3 hours, just hearing and going up and down and all the emotions. And we were all just spent at the end of that time. Then I learned that Betty Fernweger had died, a longtime member of this church, married Al 64 years. And then early the next morning, I learned that Jack Detweiler, a saint, a pillar of all in this church, had died later that night, Tuesday night, at 11 o'clock. And I just was wiped out. Have any of you ever had those kind of times where you just can hardly get up off the pillow? You can hardly function. You can't really be around people much. You're just really exhausted. I don't know whether it's because I've just know these folks so well and they've become a part of my life or what all it is. And Jan and I had made arrangements with a friend in this church. They had offered us to go to the beach, their beach place, this past weekend. And we debated whether to do that, but we decided to go on Thursday afternoon, and we came back yesterday morning. And immediately when I got to the beach, Jan took a nap. I walked down on the beach, and I don't know about you, but that something happens to me when I walk on the beach. And I heard the rushing of the waves, and I heard the rushing of the wind, and it was my personal Pentecost. And what I did was I found myself taking these deep breaths, just taking in the breath of God and feeling myself being renewed. I knew God was going to do something to me there, and I felt this powerful renew. I'm not a pantheist. I get that the wind isn't God's spirit, but I get the idea, too, that it's like God's spirit. And the Hebrews have this wonderful word for this called ruach. Ruach, which means the spirit of God, the breath of God. It's God blowing part of God's being into the world and into us and all around us. And it's an affirmation that God is with us and God is there for us and God is providing that very thing that we need. And I was breathing and taking in this spirit, and I could feel myself being lifted. Pentecost came early for me. It was this incredible renewing time of God being with us. And I just want that for you today. I don't know if any of you is exhausted as I was. I bet some of you are, because I know something about your lives. Or there may be something else that's going on in your world, but the breath of God, the ruach of God. Yesterday in Jack Detweiler's service, Pat Fluck read from Psalm 139. It's that marvelous passage where the psalmist says, "Where can I go from your spirit? If I go to the far highest heavens, you're there. If I go to the deepest Hades, you are there. There's no place I can go that you're not there." And so the word of God today for us is that God's spirit is here. It's around us. It's with us. It's part of us. It's what God wants to do to fill you and me, to breathe into you and to me, whatever's going on. On that first Pentecost, the disciples are there, as I've already said. Spirit came to them. And I think three things happened. There were three things that they discerned. There was clarity, there was community, and there was courage. Clarity. Clarity of language, because as I said, these were people from Egypt, from Turkey, from Iraq, from Iran. They spoke a different language, but they heard clearly in their own language the central message that Jesus was the Messiah. He rose from the dead, and he's the God's anointed one. They heard that with an incredible clarity, and that's what the message of the church was. This past week or two ago, we hosted here in this congregation a leader cast a leader cast had some different people from around the country who are outstanding leaders. And one of them is Andy Stanley, who is this mega church pastor up in Atlanta, North Point. And here's some of the points he made, which I think are really helpful to me and I think maybe to you about clarity. Complexity is the enemy of clarity. Complexity is the enemy of everything, he said. Clarity is the most important thing. Clarity is the most important thing. He said, I have in my possession, I've had it for ever since I started the church, a 3x5 card. It says on there these three sentences. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Where do I fit in? What are we doing? Why are we doing it and where do I fit in? He said when he was a kid, about 12 years old, his father, Charles Stanley, was friends with the owner of Ritz-Carlton. And he went with this guy one day to his hotel, and he was talking about everybody here needs to have clarity about who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it. Everybody at every level has a one-sentence mission line. He said, everybody, our maids, our cooks, our bellmen, they all know what they're doing. He said, you serious? He said, yeah. Here's their one mission statement, one-line mission. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. State clarity. A couple other things he said, then I'll go on. The mist in your mind will become the fog in your organization. The mist in your mind will become the fog in your organization. If you don't know exactly what you're doing, you're going to have a difficult time doing it. And then finally, Steve Jobs, in that period when he was out of Apple, during that time they got confused about who they were and what they were doing. They created lots of different types of computers. When he came back, he said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make easy-to-use computers. Clarity. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? They got that there at Pentecost. They got the message in clarity. The second thing it seemed to me that happened at Pentecost is this sense of community. Community, that's when the church formed. That's when the body of Christ formed. That's when the Spirit came upon them and they became the body of Christ. They became a tangible expression of the kingdom of God. That's the purpose of the church. A tangible, physical expression of what God intends to happen on this earth. Yesterday, again, at Jack Detweiler's service, Bob Edmonds spoke really, really fine. And he said, he quoted from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we are surrounded, therefore, by a great cloud of witnesses. And Bob said, you know, I always interpreted that as the cloud of witnesses, those people who've gone on before us, who are already in heaven. He said, but in thinking about Jack Detweiler, I interpret that as people who are here among us. And I've had this privilege of knowing Jack Detweiler these years, and Jack and the body of Christ embody what it means. And so you and I have this privilege of being a part of people who live out the life of Christ in our midst. Most all of us who've been in this church for any number of years have been accosted by Jack. Well, accosted's too strong, but it's pretty close to being accosted by Jack to sponsor him for Crop Walk. It was a mission of Jack. Jack had this idea that I'm to live out this thing. He really believed Matthew 25, whatever I do to the least of these, I'm doing it to Christ. And so he had a passion for the needy. And he did Crop Walk many years. I asked him one time, I said, Jack, where did you get this passion for service? He said, I think maybe it was from my mom. And his daughter said he might have gotten it from his mom, but he got generosity, he developed that. And they said he was motivated primarily out of his love of God and love of his wife, Pat. And Jack Detweiler, he recruited people to go on missions. He recruited people to go on the walk to Emmaus. He got you into a small group. He got you involved in prison ministry. Jack lived it out. And we had the privilege of knowing Jack Detweiler and being experiencing Him in the flesh and being inspired by that. Betty Fernweger, married to Al 64 years. Betty, committed to the Russian ministry, involved in United Methodist Women. And Jamie, your bride, Eva, who touched us all. I didn't recognize her picture in the paper because I'd only seen her with almost no hair or only the scarf over her the time I've known her. But Eva was this brilliant scientist, doctor, musician. And she sat right back here, and we had the privilege of knowing Eva. And some of you young women in the Bible study were enfolded by her, and you enfolded her on Tuesday mornings. And we all were blessed to know these persons and to know Eva. I'll never forget, Eva was going to go with us to Nigeria, but her health wouldn't let her go, although she went on some other mission trips. She went with some of you. And we had lots of talks about her faith. She had this wonderful sense of science, and that sometimes caused her to be uncertain about her faith, but it developed, it grew, it became really strong. And she came to this class I taught one evening, these four sessions on Proof of Heaven, that book written by the neurosurgeon. And she had this wonderful way of saying, you know, when I read the Bible about heaven and streets of gold and all that, you know, that doesn't make any sense to me. But when I read this neuroscientist talk about heaven, that makes a lot of sense to me. That's the beautiful thing about Trinity. You can voice those kind of thoughts and still be welcomed in. And I knew she was getting it, and I had to be away 1 week. I was teaching over in Ukraine, and I said, called her up. I said, Eva, would you teach the class for me this night, this next chapter on the Proof of Heaven? She said, oh my. And she did it. She did it incredibly well. She got a standing ovation when it was over, something I never got at those classes. That was Eva. And that's what I'm trying to say. When the Spirit blew upon those first disciples, it created a community. It created the body of Christ. It created people in flesh and blood who show us the way, who give us the courage, who live out what it means to be a follower of Jesus, so that it's not just some ethereal, abstract idea, but it's somebody we bump shoulders in. It's somebody we rub up against. Yesterday at the service, Esther Yoder brought a jar of peanut butter. Because, you remember, Jack Detweiler always said, bring a jar of peanut butter to the crop walk. Because Jack believed, as did Eva and Betty and others, our faith needs to be specific and concrete. Community. The third thing that it seems to me that happened on that first day of Pentecost was there was a sense of courage. Courage comes from the word heart, core, enabling the heart to do what it might not otherwise do. And here were these disciples. They were despondent. They were discouraged. They were disorganized. They didn't know what to do. And the Spirit came upon them and filled them, empowered them. When I was earlier this week, as I said, it was one of the lowest weeks I think I've ever had. I wrote to my clergy buddies. I said, gee, you know, I'm having a real struggle what to preach on this Sunday. And anybody got any ideas? And one of my friends wrote about Ezekiel. In those early parts of the chapter, early chapters of Ezekiel, there's this, Ezekiel is taken to the exiles. He's taken out of his homeland to the exiles. You know what that means, don't you? To be in exile is to be in a place you don't want to be. And all of us have been there, and some of us are there right now. And in chapter 2, verse 1, it said, the Spirit came upon me and picked me up on my feet. That's what happened to me at the beach. That breath of God filling me. That's what the Spirit wants to do for some of us today who are flat out down, and the Spirit of God wants to pick you up on your feet. Hear me, dear friends, you're not alone. There's no place you can be where God isn't. God is with us. Breathe in His breath. Breathe in His Holy Spirit. It might come dramatically, it might come quietly. My question to you today is, which of these three are you at today? Are you at a place where you need clarity of who you are and what you're about, what the next step is? Are you at a place in forming community where nobody, you don't need to become like Jack Detweiler, but nobody should be like anybody else, but you're hearing God say, it's time for you to step up. It's time for me to quit relying on the Jack Detweilers and the Eva Dimitrovs and others. It's time for me to be the disciple of Jesus Christ. It's time for me to recruit people for this. It's time for me to take on the responsibility if I'm to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then I just know there's somebody, some people who are down here where I was this past Tuesday and Wednesday. And golly, it's a tough place to be. You don't have to go to the beach. The breath of God is breathing. The Spirit of God is among us, lifting you, filling you, encouraging you, assuring you. Pray with me, would you? Breathe on me, O breath of God. Breathe on. I could call you by name. Breathe on them by your care and your power and your grace. Come, Holy Spirit. As you came to Ezekiel and you put him back up on his feet, as you came to Elijah, as you came to those disciples, breathe on us, breath of God. Fill us with life anew, that we may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. In this name of Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen. Would you join me in our liturgy for Holy Communion? Would you come to the table of our Lord? Thanks and praise. We come making our personal confession to you, O God, in these silent moments. Amen. It is good to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, and so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we offer ourselves to you, proclaiming the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Amen. Friends, would you stand to sing our closing hymn? And as you feel free to come and receive the gift of bread and cup. Come and thou my true word, I Would you take someone's hand and receive the benediction? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the awesome power and presence and spirit and ruach of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.